This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm.
We're all barbecue winners.
Karina Anglada.
There's a lot of hot takes.
And Darius Thomas.
Are we done?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'd like to take a moment and fill you in on some changes that we're making. We're all on our own journeys as creatives, and we started this podcast with the goal of highlighting sports creatives, their perspectives and insights in their work, to share with one another, to learn and grow with one another, to make connections and introductions that would be inspirational and help you on your path wherever you may be. We'd like to maintain better continuity over the course of the full season and keep introducing you to new people who make this industry the fantastic place that it is today. I don't have to tell any of you that it's a ton of work to make this happen, so the long and short of the last 6 months is that we needed a break. And we also wanted to figure out how we could make this podcast something that would sustain throughout the year without taking long hiatuses. So, like any content team, we're looking to monetize this podcast. We want to be able to pay the creatives that will be supporting us and making this podcast happen. If you're interested in helping us support the community, please reach out for a conversation. So, with all that being said, something that I've learned in this industry is that it pays to believe in what you're doing, to invest in yourself and the people around you. And if you believe in what you're doing, other people will see that as well. So I'm happy to announce that my company, Baller FX, will be the first sponsor of the Creative Sports Podcast. Whether this is episode 1 or episode 115 for you, thank you so much for being a part of our journey, and we look forward to making season 3 the best yet. So let's get to it.
Are we going
to
do the thing?
Yeah, we got to
do the clap. Are we bringing it back?
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny because I found a app that does like a slate, and it's pretty cool, but I've never used it.
I'm very much into the old analog way of doing things still.
Let's do it.
All right. When we clap in, JP?
Oh, up to you.
Call it 38.
Mine says it. I'm 9.2 seconds behind.
37. This is off to a rollicking start.
Karina's like, I'm not even clapping.
I'm not even going to bother. What? 9.2 seconds behind. Okay.
Wow.
We'll just put a random clap, like, in the middle of the welcome to. Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller FX, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today. All right. Well, welcome back to the Creative Sports Podcast. We've had a little bit of an off season, and in this episode, we figured we would start out by giving you an update on what we've been up to. And we'll also dive into a little bit of creative talk, some of the hot topics around the industry. So, Karina, I think we're going to start with you because you made the biggest move out of all of us in the off season. Your biggest moves in the off season. So, what have you been up to in the last handful of months?
Yeah, going on the record officially, but I'm super excited. One of the biggest moves, literally, is I moved across the country. So I was on the West Coast for the past 6 years, and now I am on the East Coast in Georgia. So still with Adobe. I mentioned people the move, and they're like, wait, are you still with Adobe? And yes, I still very much am with Adobe and super, super excited as it relates to the video space, because that industry is growing super fast here in TV and film specifically. But yeah, I've been keeping busy with work. Just came off of 10 straight weeks of travel for different events with Adobe. So Adobe Max, our big creativity conference, different engagements with universities and customers. So it's been busy, but I'm very, very excited to be on the East Coast, although I will always, always, always miss the West Coast.
when we were setting up all the timing, I had a freak out moment because I was like, oh no, when Karina said this, did she actually mean East Coast time, Central time, Pacific time, trying to like figure out all the times.
All the times. Yep. Yep. I'm getting used to that too. Like all of the different time zones. I now on my Outlook calendar have PST, CT, you know, EST to make sure that I'm organized because I know it gets confusing.
Nice. Do you have any good stories from your move? Anything happen?
Oh gosh, nothing happened. Thank God. I it was a boring move, but actually, no, there was one instance.
There's always something.
No way there's nothing.
The actual physical move. So I chose the pod deal, and that was easy. But I packed everything pretty much by myself. And so that was tough because the pod, when they dropped it off in the Bay Area, they were like, we don't have enough space in your driveway. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? But they found space, of course, and it was fine. But the one hiccup that I had was, you know, I was trying to get rid of the bigger items. So like mattress and things like that, I was well overdue to get a new mattress anyways. And so it's like my last day in my apartment and I'm trying to get rid of this mattress. I had been for like a week, had people say, yes, I'm going to come get it. And then no show. So literally I'm like last day in my unit and I'm like, I need to get this mattress out of my apartment. I don't want to be that person that just like leaves it on the street and, you know, then my other neighbors have to deal with it. So it was like almost final hour. I'm like messaging someone's wife that keeps saying, yeah, my husband's going to come get it. My husband's going to come get it. And didn't get it. Long story short, he did come get it. But in the final hour, I'm like, what am I going to do with this mattress? I'm, you know, by myself. How am I going to move it down? Like, am I just going to like chuck it off the balcony and deal with it later or get a fine? But other than that, no major issues. Nothing was broken in the move. Yeah, luckily nothing crazy. I know moving, there's a lot of horror stories when it comes to moving. So I'm happy.
Awesome. Yeah, we did pods too, moving from Chicago. Super glad we did it that way. Made things a little bit easier.
Yeah, they do. It's a cool system that they have, you know, moving it from place to place, but good stuff.
Nice. Brock, what have you been up to?
Just this last, you know, offseason wrapped up a successful NFL project. Then spent a little bit of time at home doing some design work for a big NBA project coming up. So getting ready to go live on the road again, I guess, for the next 6 months. So, yeah, pretty much the jobs don't stop coming. Just keep coming. So, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing. It's a great thing, actually, in this
that part
flailing economy, but economy will not be a topic on this season's episode.
So since you've been at home a little bit more, what have you checked out as far as more barbecue restaurants or getting your fill of that or what?
There's a new place in Kansas City that I love that is a barbecue Thai fusion restaurant. Called Buck Toy, that might be my favorite barbecue place in the world. So if you're ever in Kansas City and you're looking for like the lowdown, like new hotspot, that is Buck Toy is the new hotspot.
What's your favorite thing there?
They have a beef brisket, fried rice, a beef brisket pad Thai. And they also have just some nice, good ribs that are maybe okay. Some of the best.
I need to be in
the city.
Kansas City next week.
Yeah.
I know. Wow.
Maybe.
I'm very fortunate. I got to live in two barbecue meccas in Austin and Kansas City. So I'm extremely spoiled.
We're not going to ask you to compare.
It's easy. Texas, Austin has the best brisket in the world. It's not even close.
Yes.
And Kansas City has the best overall barbecue.
All right. There we have it.
Don't at me.
I could, you know, I'm biased in a sense because I live in Texas, but I hate the beans here in Texas. I grew up in different part of the world that, you know, it's a different bean. But
yeah, it is. It is. It is all about the meat in Texas, especially beef. Beef ribs and brisket are king.
Yes.
Whereas in Kansas City, a little bit more emphasis on the sides, a little bit more emphasis on a diversity of meats. Yeah, it's all good. You can't go wrong with any of it. So we all win in barbecue. We're all barbecue winners.
I mean, we could be, you know, another state that claims to be king, but we will not discuss.
Oh, the one where they put like vinegar salad dressing on it? Yeah, no, it's not for me.
No. Justin, what have you been up to?
I was going to have you go.
Hey, I'm up to the same thing. It, you know, full-time entrepreneur life is never ending. Even when you want a break, you really can't take one. But I can't remember when the last time we did a pod. But I did shoot a sports event this year. It was fun. It was NCAA track here in Austin. I think I shot for 3, maybe 4 schools. I can't remember because that was in June. But I just got paid for one of those schools maybe 2 weeks ago. So I don't miss that part about working with college sports teams. But overall, that was pretty fun. So last couple months have been kind of busy with some travel and some, you know, kicking up things here in Austin. But it's been fun. It's been a good challenge. Beginning of this month, well, beginning of October, because we're not sure when we'll air this. Actually traveled to DC a day after Karina left there, or maybe we left and arrived on the same day, but actually got a chance to produce a kind of a live show, live stream for a national conference, which was like 8 organizations convening in DC. So I hadn't done a live event like that since 2012, 2013, something like that. So that was pretty fun. Yeah. Had some fun, had a couple hiccups, but we, you know, worked with an amazing crew. And now I kind of want to do some more live stuff, you know, live in that world.
So did you handle all the streaming, streaming and stuff too? Or were you working with a group and handling the, as the director of photography or something?
No, so I did handle the streaming portion of it. And it was kind of a small scale. We did two cameras that were live the first 2 days, and then the third day we got a little had a little fun with it. It was what is the name of that? Anyway, we were able to stream the roaming camera into the system, and like just it working had us all like excited and jumping around the room because we were able to add another element to the system. But yeah, it was super fun. The organization really appreciated us being there to stream it to, you know, the people who weren't able to come. We probably averaged like 30 or 40 people a day in the sessions, which probably doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it was like 400 people in the room, which we weren't streaming to the screen in the room, but it was fun. So it was a bigger in my mind because it actually worked, but then it was, you know, kind of small enough scale to like be kind of low pressure. So another thing to put in the toolbox to say that I did.
Nice.
Awesome.
Now, Justin, what have you been doing?
Yeah, the last couple months I'm learning quickly are the busiest in sports for people who need graphics packages heading into all the fall sports, college sports starting up, and MLB postseason. So, it's been a bit crazy and hectic, and no complaints. No complaints here. I've worked with some awesome people, and you know that's something that has been really nice about being out of my own is that I can pick and choose who I work with, and you know there's a lot of people who have been fantastic partners the last handful of months to collab with, and or even having people recommend me or have, you know, make connections for me. So, yeah, I was talking to Brock before because Brock worked at Notre Dame, and I got connected to them through Joe Dane, who is a former guest and someone who worked with Brock a lot too. So, yeah, it's been cool to, you know, work with a bunch of different people, some new faces, and a bunch of great people who are super creative. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It's actually amazing to see how maybe 6 months to a year ago, you and I were talking about these different packages and helped you kind of test a couple of them out that you were trying to pitch. And then all of a sudden one day I see the Notre Dame package like pop up and see it in it's amazing to see from conversation to execution, and other people actually seeing what you have up there in that brain of yours. So amazing stuff.
I don't know what I have up in my brain. A lot of times you have to pull it out. I'll figure it out as we go. Right. It's the beauty of being a creative, but yeah, no, I know last year we talked a little bit about, and I've showed you guys the automated motion stuff that I've been working on. And, I have a partner now, and we're trying to build it out even more. So, yeah, more to come on that, and have a couple of teams that we're trying to test some stuff with. So, yeah, it's been cool to see.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, it's been, you know, an off season for us in the podcast world, but we're all like in season all the time. What are some topics we want to kind of touch on this season as we look at guests and even each other's lives of what we want to kind of help talk through with the sports creative community?
I mean, we just kind of talked about it, but I think the power of the word of mouth and network and connections and, you know, not just the stereotypical view of networking, you know, handing across business cards or handshakes, but I feel like it's evolved. This idea of networking has just changed so much ever since COVID, right? So for me, that's what I'm interested in talking about. And I know AI is top of mind for a lot of people, and automating workflows and finding ways to work smarter and not harder. That's always, you know, something that's top of mind for me and the work that I do. So yeah, those are some of the topics, but what do y'all got?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, working smarter, not harder, and using tools we have access to. You know, we were talking a little bit beforehand about how, you know, there's a little bit of initial fear in our industry about AI and replacing certain roles. And I think we've kind of found out that's not necessarily the case. I mean, sure, to some extent that can be true, but for the most part, it seems to be a tool, like any other tool we use, you know, to help make our jobs more efficient. And I think, you know, taking a deeper dive into that and how people are utilizing it to balance their workload better or maybe push beyond what they were doing before, I think is an interesting topic.
With that in mind, Brock, like in your field, like how much is AI being integrated? I won't even say affected, because in the live session, that's a whole different world. But how is it kind of being implemented in live production?
It's super interesting because we get down into a conversation that's been happening for years in kind of my industry, even though I don't touch it as much, and that's automation in live production. And while that doesn't happen, I do what I specialize in, what a lot of us do, I think, which is I call it butts and seats production, right? It's hard to automate a lot of things in sporting events as far as, you know, camera movement, camera controls, things like that. But at a newscast, at a news station, that automation has been happening for years, right? So so there's an aspect there on how that gets improved. And the reality of it is that automation did not take away necessarily, I wouldn't say, but adjust a lot of people's jobs and what they did in the market, right? You know, I'm 99% on the sports side, so I really focus on butts and seats production. I don't think AI is replacing a lot of those things on that side of the industry, but what I really think it is it's a tool, right? Along with everything else that can be incorporated into certain logic events that happen on a game basis, whether that's stats, you know, an aggregation, or even things like there's some people out there who are using algorithms to pitch replay packages and storylines and automatically build them. You know, it's not replacing a replay operator. Replay operator still has to go through and trim that package and make it good, you know, but it can still, it could say, hey, you know, I have all the stats coming into my replay machine or whatever. And I can see this trend or graphics, right? Graphics coming in and saying, you know, I see all these stats coming in. Here's a trend you may not have noticed as a graphics producer, right? So that stuff isn't there yet, but that's the way I could see it going, you know, and pushing the boundary that way.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's really cool. I like
that. I was going to make a joke about your camera comment when you have Taylor Swift in the building, you know.
I'm not.
When you're freelancing at the Chiefs.
You don't need AI for the network just to put a camera on Taylor Swift. That happens every game. That's they know where she's at.
Got to be Taylor Cam.
Every game.
Yeah, that should be a big seller, you know, like some sponsor would come in and, you know.
I think what's crazy is the amount of fans after it's announced she's going to be at the game, the ticket prices skyrocket. Which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's the power of celebrity, power of a brand name. Like that's real.
Yeah. And speaking of that, that's something that has been on my mind too. Like as creatives, I know there's been a lot going around about colleges needing to up their creative staffs or supporting the creative staff. So I think personal branding, I think is a big topic that, how can we do it as creatives to highlight what we're capable of without the ick would be something that I'm interested in exploring a little bit more.
We're going to call that episode The Ick.
So I'm watching a lot more hip shows now, you know. My wife's got me into some of these that, you know, the vibe and making me get in touch with the younger audience a little bit better.
Yeah.
I love it. That is a whole slew of episodes, in my opinion. I feel like
maybe we should do a series.
There's a lot of hot takes.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of takes that we could dive deep into there.
So with that, you know, staying on topic, how do all of us have been in the industry for, you know, well, 10 plus years, right? From our individual perspectives, do we like the celebrity of the creative now or the, you know, well, it seems like a celebrity and personal branding, or do we still like the, you know, behind the scene, I'm just going to let my work speak for itself and kind of the brand out front? Like, what are our thoughts on that?
I'm kind of and I'm not in the creative space anymore, so it doesn't matter to me. I'm more technical.
You're creative and,
technically creative.
We're all creatives.
I'm a little old school. I tend to think the work has to come first, right? And then the brand. But I also think it's, if you don't have a brand, and I'm somebody who doesn't have a huge brand right now, and I understand that's a negative. If you don't have a brand, you're behind, right? Like, that's, you're just doing yourself a disservice, right? But also, if you don't have the work to back up that brand, it kind of doesn't help and it can lead to issues. So, you know, I can kind of see both sides of it.
Yeah. So when, and I posted about this on LinkedIn, I'm trying to be better at LinkedIn. But a friend of mine, his name is Will, and he's a full-time professional speaker, and he has this one line that he talks about in some of his speeches, is marketing is what you say about yourself. And branding is what other people say about you, which goes back to what Karina was saying about the word of mouth. It's like, I think there's a overcompensation of, I have to say all of this by myself, about myself, and I have to put myself out there. And, you know, there's some creatives out there. It's like, you're good. People are going to know you're good because, not necessarily because LeBron James or Taylor Swift, or like, I think we try to attach ourselves to that and think that that's automatically going to give us, you know, high value. It's like, no, some people want to work with you because you do good work and you're easy and good to work with. And so, as much as our creatives may want to be more influencers now and you know, be the personal brand, I think it's still important that other people are pushing you out there as much or more, because I could say, hey, I'm the best videographer in the world. But if nobody else is saying that, it really holds very little value.
Yeah, I feel like I'm right in the middle of everything, where I feel like I'm super old school and like a dinosaur on one hand, where mm-hmm. I'm like, no, let the work speak for itself. Just post, retweet, share your work. But then there's the other side of it where it's like, you know, I work with Adobe. And so a lot of the things that you see on Adobe's social platforms are folks that might be have that influencer quote unquote title sharing how they did the work that they're working on, right? So to me, I feel like what I like to center everything around is like, you have to share your work, because maybe there's an audience even bigger than the team that you're serving or the organization that you're serving that could benefit from it. And I feel like, you know, I've gotten so many incredible opportunities because I did insert myself into something saying, hey, look at this edit I just put together. And that can lead to other opportunities, which leads to career growth, right? So mm-hmm. I see the value of both. And there's also a market right now for folks to share and be in front of the camera and say, this is how I put it together, or this was me filming the last game. But I know the tricky part is it depends on every organization that you work in. Some have really stringent rules, others don't. And so what do you do if you want to share, but you're not allowed to, right? Mm-hmm. What's the workarounds? And so I think it's a really tricky space that we're in right now. And I feel like I'm right in between, like leaning back and forth on sides. Not that there should be sides, but there are, yeah. You know, there's some people that are like hard set, like, no, just post your work. That's it. Don't insert yourself into it. But then I think, you know, we're all unique. We all have something different to offer. So at the same time, I think it's okay if you kind of put yourself in that space. But I think it is a delicate dance, right? Like not aligning who you are as a person so much with the company that you work for, right? Because you could get yourself in trouble too, depending if things, you know, on what you post or how you post, when you post, all those things.
That's an extremely good point that I think a lot of newer people to the industry maybe kind of overlook is you need to check to see if your company has a policy on what you post first. And if they don't, ask them first, because the last thing you want to do is put yourself in a position where I get in a tough position sometimes where I have NDAs in place that I cannot talk about my work. And other times, even when I don't feel comfortable without talking to the client first. And I understand I'm a little bit different than a lot of people, but you know, especially if you're freelance, Darius, I'm sure you run into this with your clients too, you know, is, you know, what can I post? Or, and that's a good question, Darius, do you work it into some of your contracts that you retain some promotional rights for some of your work that you do, or how do you balance that?
Yeah. So I'm going to be upfront and say up until maybe last October is when I started implementing contracts, and the client that had me send a contract actually sent the contract back before it was signed to say, include this, you reserve the right, this is your client, we're purchasing. And so now
amazing
that contract
client
that wow. she sent back is now the contract that everyone gets. So.
Okay. This is a whole nother topic.
Yeah. And that's what I was about to say is like, that's going to be one too, because now that you have a lot of people who are, who want to do freelance, we always hear like, oh, it's my footage. It's, if you do not work that into the conversation or into the contract, or, you know, you don't discuss that, whose is it? Like intellectual property is a huge thing that those people who are working in, you know, if you're working in the college space, the school owns that because you're on their time and you're on their, you know, ownership and copyright and all that. When I left Texas, I actually, because I had a good relationship with the guy who deals with all their copyright stuff in the athletics department, I had a conversation with him. I was like, hey, you know, no longer working here, but what's the, you know, what's the line of what I can and can't share? And, you know, he basically told me, he was like, you can use it for X thing, but maybe not in this thing. So you can't sell that footage, but you can promote yourself because you shot that. You kind of have that ownership. It, you can use the IP, but you can't use it as, this is my footage. If you need, you know, if you want to use this in a commercial, like I can't sell that footage. And so understanding what you have the rights to, I'm sure it's the same in the NFL, NBA, all these other leagues where we think that because we shot it, like I remember, and this was a long time ago, I was looking at a credential. Maybe it was when I was at Georgia or Ole Miss. On the back of that credential, it says who owns the right to this footage. Even if you're a photographer, if you're a videographer working for the AP or
someone else, hand. Yep.
You're a hired hand. If it happens in this stadium, this is our footage. But who reads the back of the credential? No one.
I used to sometimes when I was bored. But yeah, you're right.
I was going to say, it also says on tickets that you're in a public place, so you can get recorded for audience members too. So,
yes. If,
I mean, you can take that with a grain of salt, but if you are shooting...
Especially in the NIL space, right? Yeah. Like a few conferences and stuff that I've been to, most noticeably the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation in D.C. When you walk into the registration, it has a big sign that says you will be recorded and photos will be taken and you will not be compensated for it because you have signed on to be in our space. And, you know, that's just what it is. And some people may see that and say, oh yeah, whatever. But if you go on their website or, you know, on their social, they don't have to pay you for that because you've already, by registering, and it's probably in the registration packet somewhere that, you know, your name, image, your likeness can be used unless you say, you know, written notice that I don't want to be in any promotional. But I've run into some of that in like events that I shoot. I'll have someone who's in attendance there and say, hey, I don't want to, like, make sure you don't shoot me because I don't want to be used. And I'm like, okay, well, just stand behind me anytime you. Like, I will try not to, but also can't keep up with 300 to 500 people in a room to say, oh, it's, I got to make sure I avoid this. So, yeah, that would be a topic that I would love to talk to, you know, either us or other people about, kind of that.
Yeah, I think one of the big things going back to the conversation around branding is, don't let your personal needs or wants get in the way of your work needs or wants. And that's kind of what you were all getting at. But if you decide you want to put a GoPro on you so that you can turn it on yourself and shoot to capture what you're doing while something else happens or something like that, your number one priority always has to be what you're there to do first and foremost. And I do think some of that is getting stretched. But I mean, if you can do it without impacting anything else, I mean, that's great. But that was always my rule, is first and foremost, we have to deliver on what we need to deliver on. And then if you can do whatever else, I don't care what you do or how you do it. But even now I find myself months behind on sharing work just because stuff comes up and you can't keep up. And it's like, oh, you talk to a client and they're like, oh, you know, this something like would be cool. And I'm like, well, I did a project. I just haven't put it out there yet. So, you know, however you can turn things around, and get it done. But know that it's always got to come company first, because that's who's paying the bills.
Yeah, it's funny that you said this, and I'm going to kind of shout this person out, because I saw something. You know, I hope that I didn't come off like, oh, I don't like this. No, I like seeing things done differently now that I'm not in sports. I'm actually, well, not full time in sports. I'm actually glad that I don't have that kind of pressure on me to try to deliver those kind of things. But Emily Johnson was covering the WNBA championship, and she had already shared, you know, through whatever, like the shot. But then a couple of days later, it was like, she did like a little short reel on like, when you capture one of the biggest sports moments, like, and she was running on the court. And I thought that was pretty cool. I think that there is ways to, and it's not trying to set boundaries around like, oh, you should and shouldn't do this. It's like going back to what Justin said, it's like, you know, delivering first, and then, you know, then it's you. And sometimes, especially in college, where there's, I don't even see how there's even time to share and go back, because you're, especially if you're working multiple sports, like if you're just working football or you're just working basketball or one sport, like you, it's easy to do that. But if you're going from, especially now around this time of year where you're about to go into crossover season, part one of football and basketball, how do you even have the time to share like that personal stuff? But it can be really cool if done in, you know, with good timing. So with that being said, what are some cool things that you guys have kind of seen in your, I mean, Karina, you just came off of Adobe Max. I'm sure that you all like announced a bunch of stuff, but like, what's some cool stuff that we've kind of seen and would like to dive deeper into seeing or hearing about some more?
Yeah, I mean, Adobe Max was just a few weeks ago, so it's a little bit top of mind, but all of the generative AI excitement is amazing. Even, you know, for somebody that I know these things are happening. I know I have colleagues that are working on these things actively and have been for years, right? Like AI is not new. And we mentioned this earlier, like we've had amazing AI tools in Premiere Pro since 2018, right? Like the Remix tool where you can automatically shorten your song or your audio. Like that's been there for years. But all of the generative AI stuff, you know, some of them top of mind, fast fill, right? Where you can change, you can remove objects and change background elements in videos with like the snap of a finger, blows my mind. Like, I'm just like, why didn't I have that 10 years ago, you know, to save me so much time and energy on getting rid of, you know, one thing or something with the logo that wasn't allowed. Yeah, there's just so many cool things. If for anybody listening, if you missed Adobe Max, I know this is like a plug and sounds like a promotion right now, but Max sneaks, it is really like telling for what is to come and how innovative we're becoming in this industry. And yeah, just like there's so many things with like even dubbing, right? Taking audio and being able to translate that and then maintain the same voice with a, you know, any type of video. It's so cool. It's so cool, all the stuff that's happening. It's like almost overwhelming at times. But for me, I feel like, you know, being a nerd and working for the company and knowing colleagues that are like the humans behind these really cool tools and features, I think is really special. So I'll get off my soapbox. I got really excited there.
What about you guys, Brock and Jess?
Might be taboo after Karina's comments, but I'm really interested in Project Avalanche for Unreal Engine. And that's partly because I've been trying to get a lot more into real-time motion design and the capabilities that they've unlocked for that. I'm interested in diving into more and figuring out if that's something that will be helpful down the line, just with their ability to change things out. It takes a little bit of work to do all this in After Effects. So if they are automatically doing that within Unreal, could be a really interesting space to jump into. So that's definitely top of mind and top of the list for me when I get a chance to actually dive into something new. So that's what is on my list.
Bro.
No, I mean, I think you guys pretty well said it. I'm kind of with Justin. I think real time, we get asked all the time about real time Unreal tracking, graphics engines, real time camera tracking, real time, which is kind of, I don't know, a little weird because we've had real time graphics engines in the live side for years, but I guess not really on the composited background side of things. But we also have, you know, Viz, Ross, Chiron has kind of been doing that for a while, but it's always interesting to have another player. But yeah, we get asked about Unreal Engine a lot. And I think integrating that into a live broadcast scenario is something that's I'm kind of looking forward to. It's always good to have more options in that space for sure with different feature sets.
What about you, Darius?
I don't know. I forgot.
All right.
I forgot what I even asked was. I forgot what the question was. I don't know. Part of me feels like I'm kind of behind on all the new stuff. I mean, I still live in a, you know, camera world, but
I haven't even gotten around to Karina's text editing in Premiere. I know.
Yeah,
she was showing
one of my favorite things. Yes.
Let me say something real quick, because if you're not using text-based editing and you are an editor of any kind, I swear, and there is a transcript involved, it is amazing. You have to do it. I've been playing around with it for a long time, obviously, but started working on a little personal project and I'm like, this is so cool. It's amazing. Like just being able to like use, think it's just text, editing the text and like copying and pasting. It is honestly like it's a little bit of a workflow shift in your mind, I think mentally, but it's such a time saver. Like I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite features in Premiere Pro.
It's one of my favorites too. And
you've used it, Darius?
Yes. I'm toying around because let me first say the transcription in Adobe has gotten so much better and the captions have gotten, I mean, so especially if it's like a person that speaks extremely clear.
Sure.
It is, but being able to just read the transcript and I'm sure it's parts of it that I haven't even figured out yet, but being able to just look at the text and say, oh, let me just grab this part and boom, throw it in. Like it's a game changer for sure. Like a lot of the stuff that I do, there's not a lot of tech. Well, there's a project that I'm working on today that has like 25 interviews that I have to go and look through. But mm-hmm. I've transcribed all of them, and now I just need to go and see what I want to use based on, you know, skimming through text and all that. So
yeah,
I'm really digging these new tools that Adobe has, and you know, not to be like King Adobe, but I also think that it's pretty cool that having people like yourself and some of the others that work there who've been in spaces that know what the creatives actually need or want is a huge plus, having, you know, real data per se.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I feel like it's not even an Adobe thing. Like everything with this AI movement, I'd say, is just like, for me, it's exciting because it makes big projects feel a lot less daunting, right? Mm-hmm. Like even using, you know, ChatGPT to like help emails, right? Write an email in the style of Karina Anglada, right? Like that's something that you can do now. That's amazing. Like to me, it makes like the mundane tasks feel like so much less daunting. Mm-hmm. And you know, time is such a premium for every single one of us. So any way we can save time, whatever product we're using, to me is a plus, you know?
So. Yeah. Part of that, part of my hesitation with some of the AI, which I'm not like against AI at all. It's just preserving some of the, well, a lot of authenticity. So like, a client of mine was asking me the other day, she was like, you don't have a, like a AI editor that you use? And I'm like, no, I was like, because I don't know if AI could really authenticate the same way that I would edit something. But I was like, maybe it can. But it got me to thinking, it's like, how much could things be different if it felt like it came from, you know, that person? I think.
Wait, but. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
That's interesting. So the client was asking if you. What?
Well, she's an event planner. So. Like, she's the one booking, so she's like,
she's looking to cut his rate, I think.
No. Oh, no.
That's what I'm asking.
I will say this, and I am blessed to know that there are people who are looking out for me personally, who are never on the, oh, can we do this to cut rate? Is they're looking out to say, hey, we could do more, you know? And so I have.
Save time.
Right. Say, or, you know, speed up process or, and all that. Cause I don't, a lot of times I don't charge hourly because, you know, I may do something in 30 minutes.
No, I never charge hourly. And,
you know, I may cut myself short, but I do like that there are people in the space that I work in currently who are not about, well, you know, can we just make this shorter so that it takes less time so that it saves me money? It's like, no. Because then I really don't want to return back to work with you. But yeah, I would love a AI editor that I throw all of these clips and footage and just say, hey, make a 30-second video look cool. And maybe it's out there. Maybe it's not. But if there's an engineer out there who wants to work on this project and make this a thing, then hey. But then on the flip side, then you'll have clients say, yeah, I just want to pay you for the raw footage. And then they do it. But, you know, you still have, they probably still wouldn't understand that there's still audio, there's still color correction. And no matter how much we want it to be a thing, auto color correct still doesn't do the job 100%. So there's some adjustments out there.
That's what the LUTs are for. Just throw on a heavy LUT and just, you know, yes. mask everything, lipstick on a pig.
Yeah. I've tried 1,000 LUTs, you know, programs that I've seen on Instagram. And I was just telling somebody yesterday that Instagram really baits me in on some stuff. But I will say that the best LUTs that I've used that are like minimal adjustment have to be the Phantom LUTs. Like, it's one in particular that I like is my go-to, but it works. So yeah, still some human element in there, and it's going to always be human element, no matter, you know, it's just like the car manufacturer industry. Like they probably thought that, oh, robots can do this. What if the robot breaks down? You still have to have humans in there. And we just, you know, always got to be on the swivel and ready to adjust. So, yeah. So next question would be, who are some people in the industry that we haven't talked to that, you know, or what are some areas that we probably haven't covered a whole lot with people that we would like to see on the pod or hear on the pod?
I feel like we haven't spent a ton of time with VFX, super heavy. So I think that would be cool to explore more. I feel like that's, you know, the lines are blurring, I feel like, between types of content, right? And so I think that's something that I'm really curious about. Also just like animation in general, I think we could definitely spend more time on. You know, and I think it's always a topic, right? And we've talked about it even here today, but like freelance life, right? And what actually goes into it.
Yeah.
All of the different hats that you have to wear. And that's not just subject to like freelance life, but I feel like as creatives, you do have to put on several different hats, especially in the sports industry. So those are some topics that I'd like to hear from future guests on.
Yeah, I think something that I've noticed is the creative landscape has evolved the last couple years to be a lot more intentional, and I love it. So the thought process behind execution and when certain teams are using a certain look and the reasons why how they came to that decision and some of that kind of stuff, I think would be super helpful to help other brands who maybe aren't there yet. So yeah, I think that space has been really cool for me to see how many people have really elevated what they're doing with intention. And of course, I'll always talk more animation VFX.
Yeah. 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 You are, you know, you're changing the game a bit. You know, I know that term is overused a lot, but really love anytime that you're posting new work and not just saying that because you're on the pod, but the way that you mix education with execution with, you know, all of the things always stands out because, you know, it's not just about you. And I think that goes back to, you know, it being a point of contention is like as a creator or creative, it's not all about the person who's pushing the buttons. And I think that's one of the biggest points that I've, you know, kind of learned as a freelancer is that for many years, like, and I've talked about this before, is like, it's been a big fight. It's like, oh, I'm the creative. Let me create. And it's like, all of us are really creatives, like in some point of fashion, whether we're an administrator, whether we are a designer, and the more that we put different pieces together, it takes off of what you, the editor or the animator has to do. If you don't have to think about it, you know, 100%. And the more that you're putting a lot of things or opinions, and there are going to be some empty opinions like, oh, well, what if you made the shift over here? It's like, I could, but does it add to it? And sometimes, you know, I could have probably said that in that way some years ago. It's like, but what if we don't? You know, is it going to add to it? Is it going to elevate this? Or is it just going to be, oh, I got my, I made one thing in there and I'm a part of the video. It's like, you know, it's our video. It's not just mine. I think that's something that talking through that as a creative to other aspiring creatives and those who are possibly up and coming is like, don't be afraid to let go of some of that ownership because it'll save you a lot of stress and anxiety of fighting people. Now, there are some times where you got to fight for your work and make sure that, you know, you're standing on, you know, your creativity, but sometimes you got to let some of that go as well.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that. Actually, one of the coolest moments I've had was I reached out. I don't know if you guys have seen Nebraska's football graphics on social media. They're really cool, really well done. So I reached out to Alex, who was the one that I believe did the graphic. And his response was, your channel has helped me a ton. Thanks. So like that's cool. That's a big reason why I do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You see your impact beyond just like the work that you're doing that's in front of you every day. I think that's one of the things that I try to remind myself that it gets, sometimes we get lost in like what we're doing and the one project we're working on and not thinking about how it can impact like people beyond our immediate worlds. That's awesome that they A, shared that with you and B, like that, you know, the impact it's wider than just you, you know, that's yep. So cool.
And you don't know or realize it until you share it and do it. You know, true. For a while either. So I mean, I guess maybe that circles us back to the beginning conversation of, you know, make sure you're sharing your work, but try and find a way to do it in a way that benefits somebody else too. I think that that's huge.
Yep. I mean, obviously we're going into a different season, new season. Even the organization itself, Sports Creative Community, is doing some things. If you're not following on social, you actually should. But incorporating some of what we're doing on a weekly basis with that too, like, know all of you guys are in Slack, even the question of the week, like some of that is, you know, sometimes we don't know what other people want to know until they ask it, right? So it's kind of, you don't know what you don't know, but what are some questions that all of you are being asked that would kind of be helpful? Like, even if it's like, hey, Justin, how do you, you know, make this faster? Or like, what is, I don't know. I don't get a whole lot of questions because I don't work in that space around the clock. But what are some stuff that people are asking?
I think from an Adobe perspective, like in my work, it's like, how do I keep up with all of the new updates and features? And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse for us, right? Because we do update pretty frequently, but, and I'm saying this from myself, prior to joining Adobe, like I didn't always have time to check out and see like what's new or check out the new beta. And now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, check out the new beta, you guys. It's awesome, right? Like there's so many things, you know, coming, and it's a sneak peek into like up-leveling your workflow. I think that's the question is like, how can I keep tabs on that? How can I get training? So like I get asked specific questions all the time, like who's a good resource for XYZ in the video space? And so I'm developing like a laundry list of, you know, Adobe resources, obviously, but then even people outside. So that's a question I get a lot. And I think right now it's been interesting seeing a trend in like an increased appetite for learning and training across the board. Like people do want to learn more. People want to, you know, gain more skills as they grow, but don't always know the right places to go or the best places to go. So I think that's been an interesting trend that I've noticed too. Did I answer the question?
Yeah.
I forgot it too.
I think people should cherry pick out of all of the new stuff, quote unquote new stuff, cherry pick the things that are going to benefit you the most in the current time, right? Like, I think we're all falling behind on what's out there and what we'd like to learn. The list is growing longer, and it's funny, as I go deeper into the motion design focused hole, I was thinking that it'd be a lot more like, okay, I know this is what I want to learn, but my list is just getting longer, so it doesn't change. So you just have to pick what works for you and works best for you in the current time, and then go back and if as your job evolves, if you find something that would be beneficial to you, then learn it then. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Cause not only like on the learning of the software, you know, if you work with hardware like cameras and all of that kind of stuff, you got to learn that stuff too, that new stuff. So it can be information overload. So like you said, cherry picking exactly what you want to learn and then leaving space for, you know, everything else to kind of fall in place.
I will say, this reminds me, the best colleagues that I've had are the ones that are always in the know, right? Like the ones that like knew this latest update here, that latest up, like those are my favorite colleagues to work alongside, because I felt like they kept me up to speed and they kept me almost like wanting to keep an eye out for what's coming next, to innovate, to push, to be better. And so that's my advice for anybody on this listening and looking for advice. I always wanted, like, I aspired to be like them, because I'm like, I want to be a good colleague. I want to add value to other people, even if it's not completely up my alley, you know?
I think that could be a good topic too, is how to be a good colleague in this space. Because it's so competitive. Like when you think about it, and I hated the competition where it's like, oh, like you said, you have those colleagues that are in the know, and some of them would try to like retain that information to kind of keep space. So how can you be a good colleague in this space and a good, you know, if you're older, like we are, how can you help bring along the next generation of talent and not look at it as in like a scarcity mindset? I think that could be really good for us to kind of dive into that, because I've probably been a bad colleague at some point, but maybe not. Who knows?
Modest.
We'll have to bring some old coworkers on to see if that is.
Yeah. That's the real test. bring up the teammates that you worked with.
Being a good teammate. You know, and you even see that like in professional sports is like, I was watching something on the Eagles a couple weeks ago, and ESPN or whoever the game was on was talking about AJ Brown, and it's like, oh well, you know, he and Jalen Hurts are like into it about something, and like these are best friends. Like part of the reason that AJ Brown even went to the Eagles was because of his relationship with Jalen Hurts, but he wasn't getting the ball as much as, but they were winning. And both he and the quarterback were both saying like, you know, yeah, we got guys here that, you know, are this, but winning is our, like that's what matters here. Like if we're winning games, I don't care if I play good, if he plays great, or, and I think that even in this space is we don't have people who think that way, or maybe we do, but we don't like lean into that more. It's like, I don't care who gets the celebration at the end. And I used to think about that. It's like, oh, I have to be in this spot. And I think a lot of us probably have been in it. It's like, I have to make sure that the shot is gotten because I know better than, you know, some of the others. And it wasn't, you know, maybe that wasn't being a good teammate. Maybe it's trusting that the next person can actually get that shot. And, you know, so how to be a good teammate, and what does a good teammate look like, you know, to you as a guest or whatever. So I want to thank all of you for being good teammates, for, you know, for being here.
It's a good corny way to end it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yep. Perfect.
You and closes out there, JP.
I think you just did.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to it, man. Cool. It's been a while. And, you know, are we done?
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.